Good to be together this morning. I want to continue our preaching series today, celebrating our brethren values. I believe the graphic that's up is from last Sunday's sermon. So I'm hoping the rest of what we have is good. The centrality of the Word and the Gospel is our message for today. And 2 weeks ago, Pastor Marietta talked about service. Remember, she was here while I was out in Grand Rapids and talked about how service is such a value in the Church of the Brethren, one that we see lived out here week after week. And then last week, we talked about doing ministry together, how we are all in ministry together, the priesthood of all believers, that we all have to be doing our part to help one another grow and achieve spiritual maturity. And so today we're going to look at another key value, brethren value, and that is the centrality of the Word and the Gospel. Wayne Zunkel is an author who wrote a book entitled To Follow in Jesus' Steps, and he summarizes well the brethren belief and practice regarding this value. And this is how he begins his chapter on the value of the Gospel and the Word. He says, "Brethren, begin with Jesus. Jesus is the center of our faith. He is the beginning point and the end all of what we believe. Brethren, believe that Jesus must be Lord of our lives. When Jesus touches the lives of people, they are better. People weighed down with sin find new life because of Him. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is also Savior." Well, I think author Zunkel summarizes well this value for us. We begin with Jesus. We preach Jesus, we teach Jesus, and we gather as people around the Word of God to learn more about Jesus. So today we want to continue this preaching series as we consider the centrality of the Word and the Gospel. We're going to use Paul's teaching from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. They'll be the foundational text for the message this morning. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 is our text for this morning. Hear now the Word of God. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. It's interesting that the first minister of the brethren, Alexander Max, said this. He said, "It is therefore very good to look wholly and alone to the express words of the Lord Jesus and to His own perfect example and to follow that only." So Alexander Mack, the founder of the Church of the Brethren, over 300 years ago, saying, "We look to Jesus Christ and to the Word of God and to follow the example and the teaching that we find there." Our first point this morning is simply this. For the brethren, faith begins with Jesus. For the brethren, faith begins with Jesus. For the brethren, the entire Bible is important. It is the setting in which God speaks. It is God's love letter to His people. The Bible is important, though, because of Jesus. We have the Old Testament, which sort of paves the way for Jesus. And we have the New Testament, which talks about the ministry of Jesus in four Gospels. And then a number of letters after that, which talk about the church and how Jesus is the head of the church, the foundation of the church. The theme of Jesus' life begins in the earliest passages of Genesis and traces through the entire Old Testament and into the New Testament. In fact, the early brethren began out of a period of very serious Bible study. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ." Faith comes from hearing the message, and we share the message of the Gospel of Jesus through preaching, through teaching, through Bible study, through fellowship together. And we found it that is foundational to who we are as brethren. Faith begins with Jesus as the Word and our study of the Scriptures. And that's why Bible study is so important to who we are as brethren. We believe that we gather together as a community, as a family, around the Word of God, and study the Word of God together. The Old Testament, of course, describes for us a system of sacrifice where the blood of animals was shed over and over again for the forgiveness of sins. And we often sing in the hymns in the church like nothing but the blood of Jesus and how we are washed in the blood of Jesus. The brethren have a strong belief that Jesus is both Lord and Savior and that we are cleansed by His blood. And we often think of blood as something that stains. If you ever got blood on an article of clothing or on carpeting, you know how it stains. But there is, in fact, a medical science knows that in the body, blood is a cleansing agent. It releases fresh oxygen, absorbs waste products. And Christ's blood, His life poured out, is a cleansing agent for our world and for us personally. In the cross, we see the extent of God's love for us. And at the foot of the cross, we find forgiveness and we find cleansing because of the blood of Jesus. This is a value the brethren base their faith on. Faith begins with Jesus. It begins with His shed blood at Calvary's cross. And there is nothing you or I can do to earn God's salvation. It is a grace given to us by Jesus Christ. Perhaps this illustration may help a little bit. Charles Spurgeon was a great 19th century preacher, and he told this story. He said, once upon a time, a very poor carrot farmer lived on a small farm in rural England. During one harvest season, he unearthed the largest carrot he had ever seen. He thought, now this is a carrot that befits a king. So he traveled to the king's palace, obtained an audience with the king, and laid the carrot joyfully at the king's feet. O king, he said, you have always been such a wonderful, fair, and gracious king to me, and I love you very much. As a token of my love for you, I want you to have this carrot. It is a gift which you deserve. The king, touched by this man's simple offering, responded, thank you for this gift. I happen to own the farmland that surrounds your farm, and I would like to give you that land as a gift. Please know that this is also a small token of the affection that I have for you, my son. Well, one of the king's noblemen standing in the court that day thought, wow, if the king would give all that farmland in response to a carrot, imagine what he would give for a real gift. So the nobleman went that night and found the most majestic horse he had ever seen, and he brought it to the king the next day. The crafty nobleman said, King, you are a wonderful and worthy king. As a token of my love for you, I want you to have this horse as a gift. The king, being very wise, saw through the ruse and said to the nobleman, Yesterday the poor man was giving the carrot to me. But today, you are giving the horse to yourself. Our salvation depends not on our worthiness. Nothing we can do. It depends on the worthiness of Jesus Christ and the grace that He gave to us. Faith begins with Jesus. And there's nothing that we can do to earn God's favor and God's salvation. It begins with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The centrality of Jesus Christ and His salvation is a value, friends, that we cannot compromise on. And so for the brethren, faith begins with Jesus, God in human flesh. But the brethren have always believed in the centrality of the Word of God as well. And so here is the point. The Bible has been important for the brethren since the beginning. The brethren take the Bible very seriously. We study it with great diligence, and we do that as we come together, and we do it together so that we can learn and grow together. For the brethren, the gospel is not merely the diving board off of which you jump into the pool of Christianity. The gospel is the pool itself. The brethren love to live in the gospels of Jesus Christ. The centrality of the word of the brethren is a historical value that has kept the brethren grounded for over 300 years now. We believe the Old Testament must be read in light of the teachings of the New Testament. We believe that the New Testament must be read in light of the teachings of the gospel. And we believe that the gospels must be read in light of the ministry and the person of Jesus Christ. So we value the Word of God. We read, we study, we teach, and we preach the Scriptures. In fact, the first brethren formed what was called conventicles or study groups to read the Bible together, bringing the community together so that they would know the will of God. And what I love about the brethren is that we take the Bible seriously. It is our rule of faith and practice, and we have an unwavering commitment to preaching and teaching the Scriptures. And that's why our little roots are always being challenged to memorize Scripture, to learn Scripture, because we value the Word of God. Alexander Mack, the founder of the Brethren, said it this way: a faithful child of God looks only to his heavenly Father and believes and follows him in his revealed word because he is certain of and believes that God and his spoken word are completely one. For brethren, faith begins with Jesus and the Word of God. Paul said it this way in 2 Timothy 3. He said that Scriptures make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Scriptures make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Brethren, embrace that wholeheartedly. So when Paul writes to the Ephesians and gives those powerful words in chapters 2, he's reminding the Ephesian church, hey, you are not saved by anything you have done. You are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So for the second half of the sermon today, I want to break down Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And the next point we want to make today is simply this, is that salvation, I'm convinced that salvation is God's greatest work. Salvation is God's greatest work. We live in an amazing world. We see God's beauty in creation all around us. You remember back in the spring when we had the eclipse came out, and everybody was fascinated by looking into the sky with the goofy glasses on and all that kind of stuff. And we became fascinated again with the world around us. And people began saying, wow, isn't God amazing? Look at all the beauty of creation. And now we want to see, keep exploring space and the depths of the sea, and we marvel at a sunset or a waterfall or the beauty of the majesty of the mountains, and we think, wow, God is amazing. This has got to be His greatest work. This beautiful world in which we live, it is beautiful, but it's not God's greatest work. Or if you're like me, I'm fascinated by people. I just love to watch people and see how they do things. And we're captivated by a baby. When a baby is born, and you know, we ooh and we awe over that baby, and we marvel at how that baby is wonderfully made and so dependent on its parents for everything. And we marvel at people, and we're amazed at people and how different they are, and yet each one unique and made in the image of God. Certainly this has to be God's greatest work. No, I don't think so. Salvation is God's greatest work. Because, why is salvation God's greatest work? Because it cost God dearly. It cost Him His own Son, Jesus Christ. God had salvation in His mind even before He made Adam and Eve. As wonderful as we are as created beings in this amazing world, we are sinners who God longs to have a relationship with, but cannot because of our sin. One translation of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, God saved you by His special favor. It is the greatest work and the greatest gift that we will ever be given. You know, when someone gives you a gift, what do you say? Do you say, oh, that's very nice. How much do I owe you? No, you say, wow, thank you very much. Yet too many Christians, after receiving the gift of salvation, feel obligated to pay God back, as if they're saying, how much do I owe you, God? What do I need to do? What kind of work do I need to do to earn this free gift? Paul says, by grace you have been saved. You didn't earn it, you don't deserve it, but you are gifted this wonderful gift of salvation because of God's love for you and the death of his son Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And so the gospel that we champion as brethren is that Christ has suffered the full wrath of God for our sin. In fact, we basically saying Jesus traded places with me. He died my death so that I might live. He took upon himself my sin so that I might have his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a great verse that says Jesus actually became sin so that we would become righteousness. He traded his righteousness for our sin. He took my record of sin, he died for it, and he offers me his perfect record in return. Friends, I don't know about you, but hear nothing today, hear this. In Christ, there is nothing I can do to make God love me more. There's nothing I can do to make God love me less. He is fully in love with me, and he's given his very own son for me. For by grace you have been saved through faith, Paul says. I don't deserve it. I could never earn it. But boy, I am forever grateful for it. Paul further adds, you have been saved through faith. In other words, we believe, we trust, but there's nothing we can do to earn God's salvation. We simply accept the free gift of salvation. The last point we want to make today is this, that we receive God's greatest work of salvation through faith. We receive this great work of salvation through faith. It is through faith that we believe and are saved. And Paul is pretty clear, it's not because of any human effort. In fact, Paul in Romans chapter 3 says that no one will be declared righteous by observing the law. And then in Romans 3:22, just two verses later, he says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Doesn't come from observing the law. Doesn't come from being good. It comes through Jesus Christ to those who believe. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. It is by faith and by God's grace that we are wonderfully saved. Now, I can remember as a small child growing up here in Mechanic Grove that my mother thought it would be a good idea that I go to summer vacation Bible school. And I went to Bethel Mennonite Church, just down the road this way, yes. And I remember a lot about that experience. I remember how small the church was. In fact, it was a small little sanctuary and then a small room off to the side where we met in. I remember being with other kids in that room. And I remember playing duck, duck, goose and being outside and drinking punch and eating pretzels with the other kids. And I remember everyone driving a black car. And women had all these things on top of their head, you know. And I was wondering, why didn't Mom send me here, you know? And I remember every night or every evening we had Bible school that we would sing Bringing in the Sheaves. Every night of Bible school. And I remember asking my mother, why do we sing Bringing in the Sheets every night at Vacation Bible School? But my greatest memory from that first year of Vacation Bible School at Bethel Mennonite as a small boy was committing to memory John 3:16 in the King James Version. 24 words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. As a small boy, at a little Mennonite vacation Bible school, I learned that verse. Committed it to memory, to heart. And that verse is the gospel in 24 words. It is the grace of God who gave us his Son, and our response to God's greatest work is to believe. Believeth in him. Paul says it is by grace through faith that you have been saved. And Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Two verses of Scripture, one in Ephesians chapter 2, the other in John chapter 3, separated by about 30 years, each one saying the same thing. that we are saved wonderfully by the grace of God, and we receive that wonderful gift through faith. We believe in the centrality of the Word and the centrality of the gospel as brethren. It's a value that I refuse to compromise on, and I trust that as we continue, as brethren say, as we continue the work of Jesus peacefully, simply, and together, that we will not compromise on as well. Friends, let me close with this. The gospel and the word of God are central to who we are as brothers. But I want you to think for a moment about those disciples. Remember the disciples of Jesus and how they were scattered and broken followers who cowered in the shadows and in the corners as Jesus was being arrested and tried and crucified. But those same defeated men upon Jesus' resurrection, they lived with explosive power and audacious faith. Jesus was no longer with them. He wasn't with them any longer. But they had the Holy Spirit and a bold, audacious faith in Christ. Acts chapter 17, verse 6, and in the NRSV it says, when they didn't find them, they dragged Jason and certain brothers, that's some of the followers of Jesus, before the rulers of the city, saying, these men have turned the world upside down, have come here also. The followers of Jesus were turning the world upside down. Let us be challenged as well to make the gospel the center of our lives, to turn to it when you are in pain, to let it be the foundation of your identity, to ground your confidence in it, to run to it when your soul feels restless. Let it inspire you to be God-centered, to have death-defying dreams for His glory. May a gospel-centered movement that began over 300 years ago with Alexander Mack in Germany continue through us, the Mechanic Grove Church of the Brother, as we live with explosive power and audacious faith. May we be like those disciples who were so committed to the gospel that we too turn our world upside down for Jesus Christ. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the history and heritage of the Church of the Brother that is so centrally focused on the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. May it continue to be so in and through your church, the Mechanic Grove Church of the Brother. May we never compromise on that. And may we continue to call people to faith in Jesus Christ. May we, like those early disciples, those first followers of Jesus, turn our world upside down as we continue to live out a very bold and audacious faith in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.